Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Hebrews. We will be in chapter 4, looking at verses 14 to 16. It's on page 970 in the Pew Bible. I'm going to go ahead and shoot that direction again, Hebrews chapter 4. Before I read that, I want to remind you of our guidance passage for this Lenten series. This is Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Or scratch that, 12 through 13. At once the Spirit sent him, Jesus, out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. In Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we do worship and glorify you. We thank you. Thank you for this day you have given to us, this gift, this opportunity to worship, to praise, to serve you, Lord. And God, as we have come now into this space at this time to do exactly that, we glorify you for your Holy Spirit that has empowered and enlivened our praise and strengthened our prayers. So now, God, may that same Spirit open our minds to the message of your Scriptures today. And Lord, I pray that be it through what I have to say this morning, or even be in spite of it, may good news be heard. May our hearts be touched and our lives changed. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I count myself as a very blessed man. Thinking about my life up until now, you know, easily the greatest blessing, probably right after my son's birth, is being married. Lindsay and I celebrated our 10th anniversary last summer, and at this point in my life, I can absolutely tell you I love being married. But it wasn't always that way. My wife and I are very well matched. Both of us are fiercely independent kind of people, and so not so much for Lindsay, but for me, being married took an awful lot of practice to get used to it. I can say now I'm happy about it, but when we first got married, she will tell you, if you ever get a chance to ask her, our first year of marriage for her was absolutely miserable, and it was my fault entirely. You know, being independent, it was hard for each of us to sort of grow into that practice of trusting the other person completely, of finding this place of being able to depend on that other person. You know, she is, you know, sort of the type that could be geared to live by herself if she ever had to. She is, you know, smart, she's intelligent, she's capable, she doesn't need any man to take care of her. And I like to consider myself to be the same type of man, that I don't need anybody to look after me. I've got all the right skill sets requisite to be by myself if we ever found ourselves in that situation. So it was hard in the first year to begin signing over control of things to my wife. The first thing I signed control of was our checkbook. And it was hard, friends. It was hard to not like be in charge of our finances. But here's the thing. Lindsay takes much better care of our checkbook than I ever would or could. Her attention to it, she can't add or subtract without a calculator, but she will keep much better track of our finances and keep them in much better order than I would. And there's other things that I've just come to be able to rely on her for that now I will say that I'm fully dependent upon her. I couldn't imagine being able to do life without her. I ask all those, you know, mention all these things because the question I want to start with this morning concerning dependence is this. Do we really need God? Do we really need God? Now, the pious and the righteous, the Christian answer is, of course, to say, yes, we need the Lord. People need the Lord. I need the Lord. Then why do we sometimes live like we don't? A lot of us, when we think about our day-in, day-out practice of how we do life, we probably don't really give God much of a second thought. We handle most things for ourselves. We have, the brains, the intelligence, the ingenuity, the bank account, whatever it is, to work ourselves out of pretty much every situation we get ourselves into. We get ourselves into sticky situations, we dream up and scheme up ways to get out of them, and by and large, we're able to navigate most of the ups and downs of daily life. right up until we run up against something that's bigger than ourselves. When we start thinking back 2 weeks ago when we kicked off this wilderness series, we tried to define exactly what a wilderness experience is. And it might look different for every single person in here, but we all understand what it is to find ourselves in a place where we feel desperate, where we feel alone, where we feel down and out, when life hasn't treated us fairly, when the odds seem to be against us, and we're not sure how we're going to get out again. And when we find ourselves in those circumstances, when we're facing something that's bigger than ourselves, that try as we might, we can't overcome it on our own, suddenly we find out just how dependent we really are. We come to realize that we must fully depend upon God. The wilderness teaches us not just to depend on the Lord here and there, but that we need to depend on God fully, every moment of every day. And we see this throughout the scriptures, through all of the different wilderness experiences that the people of God have been through. Consider the experience of the Hebrews right after they've been freed from slavery in Egypt. God leads them out from hard bondage and leads them out into the wilderness of Sinai, where they will spend the next 40 years. And during the 40-year period while they are in the wilderness, they rely on God for all of their provision, for all of their protection. They fully rely on God to get them through every single day. The Lord provides for them in the wilderness. But God does it in the most unique way imaginable. God sees their needs for each and every day. Every morning when the Hebrews would wake up, they look out their front tents, and the ground is covered in this stuff called manna. Manna, the bread from heaven, and God instructs them to go out and harvest just what they need for that day. That if they take in any more, it will actually spoil and it'll be completely useless. And so they go out and they harvest exactly what they need to meet their needs for that day, and they find that manna out there every single morning to provide for them. Now, God could have just as easily, on their first day out of Egypt, pulled in a grand line of semi-trucks loaded down with imperishable food and said, here you go, this is enough to get you the entire way through, ration it out, portion it out, but you don't need anything else from me, and set them on their way. But instead, what God does is provide just what they need for that day. And then after he's seen them through that day, they wake up the next day, and God meets their needs for that day. And the day after, and the day after, and the day after. Their time in the wilderness wasn't just a lesson about dependence upon God, but it was a lesson in continual dependence upon God. That every day was a gift. Every day was something to be treasured that God had given to them, and that God would see them through just for that day that they needed. And they had to stay dependent and stay reliant upon Him. Consider our model prayer for the Christian faith that Jesus teaches us. Within the Lord's Prayer, Jesus Himself says, pray this, give us this day our daily bread. Now, just like those Hebrew children in the wilderness, so often, friends, we want God to do everything for us in this moment, to fix everything, to remove every pain, to get rid of every strife, to get rid of every circumstance, to fix everything now. And sometimes God does. And sometimes God doesn't. But when He says, I will see you safely through today, the question is, do you trust me enough to get you to tomorrow morning? And if you trust me enough to get you to tomorrow morning, do you trust me to see you through that day? Because it's not just dependence for a moment. It's not just dependence for a season. It's not just dependence for one day, but it's dependence for all the days of our life. There is not a moment that we will live that we don't need God. There's not a second of our lives that will transpire that we don't need God's presence in our heart and in our life. We learn that lesson of constant dependence in a lot of different ways. I was reflecting over this past week of a couple from my first congregation. And this couple was just, they were an amazing example of godly family and godly parenting. The husband had at one time owned his own contractor company. He was a licensed contractor, owned his own company, and for a time knocked out big dollars. He had all kinds of business, had to turn business away and lived the high life. They had a house, they had a boat, they had nice cars, they had everything that money could buy. And then all of a sudden, The economy changed. Nobody was doing any more home improvement projects, and his business dried up. And over the ensuing years, he had to sell off all those toys. Boat, gone. Cars, gone. House, gone. Until they found themselves in a place where they were renting a house, and many weeks they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get the rent paid on time. They weren't sure if they were going to have enough money to provide food for themselves and for their daughter. They weren't sure if they were going to be able to see themselves through just that day. What I found remarkable about these two was their faith in God never wavered. These people were full of joy. They were full of hope. And they earnestly prayed, God, just help us for today. That was their honest prayer. God, just get us through today. And they were laboring. They were working jobs, both of them. They took odd jobs to get extra money. They were working on paying down debt. They were doing everything they possibly could on their end and reaching out to God for something from his end. And there were people from that congregation that adopted this family, that provided them with food and would help them out when they got in a really tight spot. Now, fast forward now almost 10 years, and they're back in the financial black. They've been able to move to a different home, and they've been able to, you know, go into different lines of work. The gentleman now is actually a pastor, and because of what God has done in their life, they're now able to turn around and bless other people that are down and out. Their wilderness time taught them about dependence, and now they carry that lesson forward to other people. Their church is full of individuals who have found themselves in exactly those circumstances, and they can minister to them directly and say, I know where you are, but I know where God wants to get you. Can you just stay dependent? When we think about all these different things, we remember Jesus' time in the wilderness. And it's easy in this passage in Mark to see Jesus by himself in the wilderness for 40 days. And it's easy to say Jesus was all alone. But here's the kick. Jesus was alone, yes, but he was never alone. Because while he was there by himself, Mark reminds us that the holy angels of God attended to him. He was there by himself, but God had never left him. And in that time in the wilderness, that 40-day period, as Jesus is preparing himself for the ministry that is to come, it's a lesson in dependence. Jesus stays fully dependent on God to provide for him, to see him through that time. And then on the other end of it, it gives him credence and the ability to speak directly to the people he's going to minister to every single day and say, I know who you are, I know where you've been, and I know what God wants to do. It's a lesson in dependence. We see a lot of different examples of how we are dependent upon God throughout the Scriptures. There's three different images I want to remind you of this morning when we're thinking about our dependence upon God. The first is God as our shepherd. God is our shepherd. God, with this shepherd imagery, is a very popular image throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. We're reminded in John's Gospel that Jesus himself will say, I am the good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. We think about sheep for a moment, and sheep are a very dependent animal. Sheep are only as good as the shepherd that's looking after them. They will rely on that shepherd for everything. Wherever that shepherd goes, they go. That shepherd is the one that will provide their protection, that will lead them to good pastures. The sheep are unable to find it for themselves. They need that shepherd's guidance. And the same goes for us. The same goes for us. We quickly understand that we need that exact same guidance from our Lord. I fear that as Americans, we are sort of have this, you know, beaten into our heads that being dependent is a bad thing. Being dependent on something or someone or some entity is a bad thing. It's the American way to chart your own course, to follow your own dreams, to pull yourself by your old bootstraps and do your own thing. That's the American way. And again, sure enough, there's a lot of things we can do for ourselves. There's some things that this life brings our way that we are just physically and spiritually incapable of doing apart from God. We stay fully dependent upon God to lead us and guide us to where he wants to take us. God is our shepherd. The second image is of the vine and the branches. We're reminded again from John's Gospel where Jesus says that I am the vine and you are the branches. You don't even have to be a master gardener to understand that as long as the branch is attached to the main plant, it will bear fruit It will bear flowers. It'll bear whatever it's supposed to bear. You cut that branch off and it dies. Almost in an instant, it'll go from green to brown to dead. And so it is with us. We have to stay grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. We have to stay connected to Him. And as that continually takes place, as we find ourselves connected to Jesus, our lives are able to bear much fruit. The third image involves the passage we heard this morning from Hebrews chapter 4. This image of Jesus, the great high priest. And the verse that jumps out to us there, again, this is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. If you're seeking to answer the question of where is Jesus right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And as Jesus is there, His main role is to pray and to intercede on behalf of us here on earth, to pour out His prayers to God, to be able to intercede on our behalf. As we pray to Jesus, He's taking our prayers and handing them right over. And what we find in that is, again, we don't have an intercessor. We don't have a Savior that doesn't understand what we're facing. But just as Jesus was in the wilderness and He experienced hunger and He experienced thirst and He experienced being tired and He experienced feeling lonely and He experienced feeling down and broken and beaten, so He's able to look at us when we're in those same moments of our lives and say, I understand. I understand exactly what you've been through, and Jesus knows how to meet our every need. Our every single need, Jesus can meet. All these are powerful images of our dependence. As Christians, as disciples, as servants of the Lord Most High, we must be dependent upon Him. Our time in the wilderness reminds us of this, that we are utterly dependent on God, and that God will give us exactly what we need to face every circumstance. There was a young boy, probably about Laurel's age, that was out with his father one day. And the father and the boy, as they're walking down the road, they see a large rock off to the side. And the father says to his son, I want you, son, to go over and push that rock and move it. The boy says to him, Daddy, there ain't no way I can move that rock. It's too large. And the father says to him, son, if you use all of your strength, if you use all the strength that you have, I know you can move that rock. Well, filled with the confidence of his father, the boy bounds over to the rock, and he begins pushing, and he begins leaning, and he begins striving. The rock's not budging. And he's sweating, and he's just yelling at this rock, and it's not moving. After a couple of minutes of just pure exertion, the boy comes back, and he said, Daddy, I can't do it. Daddy, I can't make this rock move. And the father says to him, son, did you use all the strength that you have? He says, Daddy, can't you see the sweat? You know I did. And the father said to him, son, you didn't use all the strength at your disposal. You didn't ask me to help you. That's how it goes for us and God. We face things in our life with the strength that we have. And when our strength runs out, we need to remember that we worship the Lord. We have a God on our side of matchless strength, of matchless power and matchless glory, who loves us in a way that we can't even hardly describe and will help us through. Let's bow together for a word of prayer.